Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Lindsay W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. Today is Tuesday, June 23rd, 2026, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter We Agnostics, and we're on page 47, the first paragraph. When therefore we speak to you of God, and we're reading through that one paragraph ending, however limited it was, and we'll be commenting on the one paragraph. Today's readers are, for the 12 steps, Nancy R., 12 traditions, Anita L., and our readers of the text this morning will be Pete B. and Susan S.H., and thank you, Devorah S., for being our backup reader this morning. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, June 22nd, are for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,570, that's 23570, and for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,571, 23571. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Nancy R. to read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Good morning, Lindsay W. This is Nancy R., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters. Our affairs. Thank you. Thank you so much for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Nancy. And I'll now ask Anita L. to read the 12 traditions for us.
Good morning. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, Anita.
And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Anita, for your service. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today, we are resuming our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter We Agnostics, and we are on page 47 in the first paragraph, which begins, "When therefore we speak to you of God," through that one paragraph ending, however limited it was. And I will now ask Pete B. to get us started this morning. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thanks. When, therefore, we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God. This applies to other spiritual expressions which you find in this book. Do not let any prejudice you may have against spiritual terms deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean to you. At the start, this was all we needed to commence spiritual growth, to affect our first conscious relation with God as we understood him. Afterward, we found ourselves accepting many things which then seemed entirely out of reach. That was growth. But if we wished to grow, we had to begin somewhere. So we used our own conception, however limited it was. So good morning, everybody. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today. By God's grace and mercy, I live in Pennsylvania. This is a good paragraph, right? It echoes what we see on page 12 in Bill's story, where Ebby says to Bill, apparently, why don't you choose your own conception of God? And that's in italics, right? So it's repeating the same thing here. And you know, I've been darkening the doors of rooms of recovery for, you know, quite a few years. And I've never ever heard anyone, you know, show up and say, you know, I was just looking desperately for God, and so I turned to, you know, the rooms of recovery. I've not heard that said. And we'll often hear people indicate, you know, if somebody was to tell me when I came here that I needed to find a God, well, then I would have ran away, right? But nobody ever says where they were going to run to, right? Because, you know, if I have a condition that only a spiritual experience will conquer, well, I can't go running to Jenny Craig or Weight Watchers or something like that, because I'm not going to find a spiritual experience there. You know, if you look back and you think about, you know, what happened to Bill, right, in Bill's story, Ebby Thatcher visited Bill somewhere in the late to end of November. And he gave him this bit of information. And it opened up Bill's eyes to realize that there's a possibility. Okay, great. But Bill didn't get sober till December 11th of 1934. So for somewhere around 2 weeks, Bill had this idea that God could somehow help him, but he was drinking. And the reason why he was drinking is because he had the phenomena of craving. Craving had set in while Bebby was telling him what he needed to do. And he couldn't stop drinking until alcohol allowed him to stop drinking. See, what I didn't understand was the nature of this condition, this allergy of the body and obsession of the mind. And you can pray until you're blue in the face and pray all you want with the big book, the Bible, the Dalai Lama, the Pope, all those things. If craving is triggered, nothing is going to stop that. No power, no human power, no non-human power, right? My experience was is that I would ask God to remove the obsession from food while I was eating food, and it never happened. The way God entered my life relative to my compulsive overeating is God gave me the ability to take action to not compulsively overeat, to physically put myself in places where I wouldn't be able to access the foods that triggered the phenomenon of craving. And it's when I got entirely abstinent, like Bill in the hospital when he was medically separated from alcohol.
That's time.
That is, and I'll shut up with this. That is when, on December 14th, he had the spiritual experience because he didn't have the alcohol in his system. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Pete B. in Pennsylvania, for getting us started this morning. And although we do value your experience, we do ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share this morning?
Jason KP.
Gotcha, Jason.
Reva P.
Reva. Who else?
Ashley.
I've got Ashley, and then I missed the other person.
Sarah G.
Julia, New York.
Sarah G. And who's in New York?
Julie M.
All right, so I've got Jason, Reva, Ashley, Julie M., Sarah G. Who else?
Deborah S.
Deborah.
Pauline M.
Vasa
O.
Vasa. All right, anyone else want to hop in on this first group before we get started? All right, well, let's get started with Jason KP, followed by Reva P. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Jason KP, recovered compulsive eater and bulimic from Pennsylvania outside Philadelphia. I was kind of hoping I'd be like fifth or sixth in line so I could hear some great inspiring words of wisdom to elaborate on, but I'll kind of take what Pete said and what's going on in my mind. But this is a great paragraph, and you know, there's a simplicity to this big book that I really, really appreciate, and you know, and we're going to hear in the next paragraph doing it, and I now believe, or am I willing to believe, and all Bill is saying is approach this with an open mind. Do not let the, you know, other spiritual expressions you hear or find in this book, you know, thwart you or stop you. You know, we are given the dignity to find our own conception of God. I studied, practiced Buddhism for a while. I work with certain sponsees. Does Buddha nature or higher self work as a word and a concept? And it's just a word and it's a concept. It's not the thing. It's a word and a concept that points us to and orients us to this power. And whatever words we give to it are not the power. The power is different. The power is experiential. And what we see, feel, hear, taste, touch, and communicate with, when we have an experience, when we have the spiritual experience, this is a beginning. Sometimes we overcomplicate this. We feel like we need to nail down a conception of God. This is a beginning. If you can open your mind and open the door to this, if you can set aside prejudice, and Bill says this many different ways, look honestly, set aside prejudice, ask yourself what these terms mean to you, this is a, we commence, right? This is how we make a beginning. Step two is opening the door. It's saying, yes, I believe. I have this metaphor I use sometimes. If you're dying of thirst in the desert and someone comes to you and says, there's water and I can lead you to that water, do you believe that person? Yes, but you haven't accessed the water. You've got to do the steps. Well, follow me. We're going to go down this ridge. We're going to cross this valley. Here's a river. There's the water, right? You don't access the water by saying, I believe you, the water is there, you know, and you could call it water, you can call it, you know, clear liquid, you can call it whatever, but when you taste it, touch it on your lips and imbibe it and you are nourished from it, that's a very different thing. And that's the experience that you get when you go through these steps and actually have the awakening and make conscious contact and feel the nearness of your Creator. So again, I think we overcomplicate this when I have sponsees that can't get past certain words. I use different words, and I look at, and Bill uses so many different words for the same things. You know, earlier in his story, he says, I ruthlessly faced my sins, you know, in the 12 and 12, when he's talking about defects of character, maladaptations of, you know, he uses lots of different words for the same thing. Don't let the words get in the way. That'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason KP in Pennsylvania. Next up, Reva P, followed by Ashley S. Good morning, Reva.
Good morning, Lindsay. Good morning. This is Reva P, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. First came into program, I remember my first meeting, and I kept hearing people talk about God, and it really freaked me out. And I did not come here to find God like somebody else shared. And it was actually a real turnoff. And I didn't really know where to start. So I think for me, if I can remember back then, the beginning was, I'm desperate. I've tried harder and harder and harder, and I cannot lick this compulsive overeating thing. I had run out of options. And I came to believe that a power. And I'm glad it says power in step two. It doesn't even use the word God in the actual step. I believed in that a power could restore me to sanity, which meant help me put down the things that I was ingesting that were killing me, just killing myself. And the reason I believed that is because I saw demonstrations of that power at the meeting. I saw people in slim bodies who were peaceful, who were happy. They weren't crazy white-knuckled dieting. And I love how in this paragraph, the word conception is used twice, and then it's as I understand him. Like, if I didn't hear it the first time, it's like three times, as I understand him, as I understand him. And for me, the thing that helped is I didn't know I had this conception, but God was very punishing. And I had this thing, if I was good, God would be good to me. If I was bad, God was bad to me. There was just a lot of negative. And all I had to believe was that there was a power. It was bigger than me. It cared about me. And it had the ability to do what it did for all these other people. And there's a prayer in one of the stories in the big book where the guy feels like he's just going to pick up a drink. And I love that prayer because I think that's how it started. It's like, God, I don't know who you are. I don't even know if you exist. I don't understand what they're telling me. I don't understand this book. But if you're there, please help me not go to the fridge right now. Or please help me walk by the coffee shop at work because they're baking muffins and it's like calling my name. That's what it was. And that's all it needed to be. And then afterward, yeah, I developed that concept. But I think because I believed that this power could do it, I was willing to do the work. And it's all because I was desperate. But thank you, God, for Ebby, God as I understand him, or I don't think I would have stayed. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. in Toronto, Canada. Next up is Ashley S., followed by Julie M. Hi, Ashley.
Hey, Lindsay. Good morning. My name's Ashley S. in Kentucky. I am a recovering compulsive eater. And I'm thankful for this paragraph and this last sentence. You know, we used our own conception of God, however limited it was. And my experience has been in, you know, 20 years of OA has been that for me, my conception has had many growth spurts. It's had to have many growth spurts. I walk away from, to use a fellow's incredible metaphor, I walk away from the water and I get my tail handed to me. I end up back in the ring and, you know, I come back and I'm willing for my concept. It's not that God needs a growth spurt. It's that Ashley's pitiful conception, my human attempt to understand that which is incomprehensible is somewhat pitiful. And for whatever reason, I am an experiential learner through pain. And I'm thankful that the people in the rooms, you know, didn't say from the get-go, like, I mean, they said from the get-go, look, sis, it isn't you. It has to be a higher power. But they allowed that process to unfold, and they allowed me the space for it to be authentic to me, of like where I honestly have been. And my suspicion is that as long as I stay here, my concept will continue to grow, and I'm thankful for that. I hope that you know, I'll keep turning my will over so that I don't have to get my tail kicked, you know, so many times. But anyway, thanks, Lindsay, for your service and for all of Team Tuesday in June. I'll pass.
Thank you, Ashley F. in Kentucky. And the next up is Julie M., followed by Sarah G. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Lindsay. This is Julie M., a recovered compulsive overeater, not cured, by God's grace, just for today. This particular chapter, We Agnostics, is so powerful to me. You know, I remember a long time ago, this lady, which I'm totally grateful for, went through this chapter with me, and she pointed out all the ways that God is called, you know, and I'm always amazed at all the names, you know, referring back to yesterday, Realm of the Spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive. That is so powerful to me that, you know, anyone can come to this program. And even if they're atheist, agnostic, religious or non, you know, at some point, you know, the conception of God changes. And that's my experience. You know, for me, I grew up thinking, knowing a God of the heavens, right? And so today, that particular God to me is my best friend. And it's not that punishing God that I grew up with. It's a loving, all-inclusive God that just loves me for the person that I am. And when I'm in my disease, I'm blocked off from the sunlight of the spirit. And I just love how, you know, the prejudice that I had, you know, has been lifted, and that this particular, my old concept of God isn't there anymore. And I like the word afterward. Afterward, we found ourselves accepting many things, which then seem entirely out of reach. So afterward for me is, you know, the 11th step and the 12th step, where in the 11th step, I continue to know and understand and learn each day what my higher power does for me and how loving he is. And that, you know, with the 12th step, I'm able to give back as it was freely given to me. And this program is a program that is about love. And my other experience was, a person asked me to be their sponsor, and he was an atheist. And I was going like, how am I going to be a sponsor to an atheist when I have a God of my understanding since birth? That was the biggest lesson of my life. It was so powerful to me that this person shows love, joy, tolerance, peace as their higher power. It's unlimited, just as long as I find a higher power that will help me grow to the person that God wants me to be. Thank you so much for allowing me to share this morning. I'm eternally grateful for a vision for you.
And your next up is Sarah G, followed by Deborah S.
Good morning. This is Sarah G. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you, everyone, for all your beautiful shares. So I may have said this before, but I guess I'm saying this to myself, that, you know, that we hear so much gratitude in this program, and constantly saying that I'm grateful and thank you. And when we're saying thank you, that means we need other people, and really ultimately we need God, because I can't live life on my own. I can't do this program on my own. And this is, yes, it's a spiritual malady, the obsession of the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. And what's the cure is to have a relationship with God. And I'm so grateful for it. Again, see, I'm saying thank you. Someone was asking me, you know, that they know of someone in an addiction and they're not doing the 12 steps. And, you know, yet they've been sober for a few years. And I, you know, obviously I have a certain feelings about the 12 steps, but we can't make someone do it this way if they're doing it another way. And again, it's all through the guidance of God, you know, how this other person is going to see things. And I just always have to remember that and not count on human will. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah G. And next up is Deborah S., followed by Colleen M. Good morning, Deborah.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Deborah S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you, everyone, who makes this meeting possible. And thank you all for all these great shares. So it says, use our own conception, however limited it was. So I don't know how limited it was. I knew that there was a God in this world. And the last part of it was that I'm not it. So God was very big for me. God made miracles healed out in the Bible, the splitting of the Red Sea. I mean, those were big things, but I didn't know how to make God personal to me. And I learned that with you people coming into programs, learning that, that I can ask God, please, you know, grant me an abstinent day. You know, please, God, sit on my tongue so I don't say things that is going to hurt another person. Please, God, and, you know, everything that was coming my way, any situations were happening, you know, please, God, let me be of service to other people instead of putting down other people. And when I saw that it was helping, I was able to grow and grow and continue to grow. And that's what my opportunity is for today. You know, I can't, it doesn't mean that I've arrived, I'm not there. But today I'm so grateful that I can wake up in the morning and, you know, ask God, you know, give me the strength so I can be of service to others. How can I help another person? And what a difference that is today. I'm trying not to live in my own head, thinking about what I need to get done, but how can I help others and be of service? And it starts with, you know, getting abstinent, putting down the food, working the steps, and having conscious contact with God in everything I do. And I'm living in gratitude because, like others have said, you know, gratitude, all this comes from God. I mean, the simplest things, the fact that I could, you know, my organs are working, my limbs are functioning, I could breathe on my own, I'm not hooked up to any machines. I mean, there's so many gratitudes. I had a bed to sleep in last night. I'm not sleeping on a park bench. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And these are all things that make me closer to my higher power and doing the work in this program as well, of course. So with that all passed, wishing you all a great, abstinent, serviceable day filled with God's love and all the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Devorah S. And where are you calling from?
I am from New Jersey. Thank you.
New Jersey. Okay, perfect. Thank you. And then before Colleen M. shares, I just want to let everyone know where we are in the book in case you hopped on a bit late. We are on page 47 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, first paragraph. When, therefore, we speak to you of God. So we've got Colleen M., followed by Vasa O., and then we will take another list of names. Good morning, Colleen.
Hey, good morning, Lindsay. Thank you so much for taking the meeting and everybody doing service. This is Colleen M. I'm grateful recovered compulsive eater from Maryland. And what a great meeting. It's just been powerful to share, but I wanted to focus on growth. If we wish to grow, we have to begin somewhere. So we have to use our own conception, however limited it was. And, you know, I've had multiple times throughout my life where I've been, you know, very connected to the God of my understanding, and at other times very disconnected. When I got back from my last relapse almost 9 years ago, I wanted no parts of God. I had decided that God did not work. And then to come up with my own conception of God, that seemed kind of sacrilegious. You know, what do you mean? I can't believe in this God that didn't work for me when I, you know, this childhood God that I had. Even as an adult, you know, who was so disconnected from my own emotions, thoughts, feelings, and, you know, I had just some very, wrong ideas about who God was. You know, it makes me think of the set-aside prayer as well. You know, I had to set aside everything I thought I knew about this higher power. And I had to start at the very beginning. Do I believe that there was a God? And I could say yes to that, thank goodness. Could I believe that this God was all-loving, all-powerful, and cared about me? And I had to choose to believe that. I didn't believe it, but I chose to believe, try to believe it. And then that was my beginning. And it was a long road back, a long road of reconstruction ahead. But, you know, I continued to work at it. And today I'm so grateful that I did, because my life is completely different. My relationship with this God of my understanding is growing every day. The healing that I believe has come from this power greater than myself has been remarkable, and it's available to any of us that are willing to do this work. And I loved the sentence from the last paragraph where, you know, he's all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding, and he's available to anyone that earnestly seeks. And I truly believe that it took me so long to get this relationship back with this higher power of mine because I needed to understand that it was God doing this work for me, not me doing it. I was just so full of self-reliance, ego and pride that all had to be smashed in order for me to humble myself before a creator. So thank you for letting me share. Love this meeting. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Colleen M. in Maryland. And then next up, we've got Vasa O., and then we'll take another list of names. Good morning, Vasa.
Good morning, everyone. Lindsay, thank you so much for your service and everybody's service this morning. And I am Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. So, I didn't know anything about food addiction. I didn't know anything about the allergy of the body until I came to the programs. Well, a friend of mine that was in OA came, like Abby, she was my Abby, came to visit me at my home. But before she came, maybe a few weeks, I remember coming home from shopping, and I just felt so overwhelmed with life and life's problems. And I had been in the food addiction for many, many years, trying to control it, put it down, pick it up. I must have gained hundreds of pounds putting it down. So I remember coming home from shopping, and I remember reaching out, saying to God, please, God, if you're somewhere out there, show me, give me a sign where you are. And that's what happened. Not too long after that, my Abby showed up at my house, and she'd been AA for a couple years, sober, but her number one addiction was food. She looked wonderful walking through my kitchen early in the morning. And we had both struggled with the dieting and, you know, all that stuff, you know. And I said, oh, wow, you look wonderful. What's going on? How are you doing this? She sat down in the kitchen and told me about the program, and it gave me hope. I said, you know, she said, the only way you can do this is by surrendering to a higher power greater than ourselves and throw ourselves in the program. I had the gift of desperation. What can I say? I mean, with everything trying over the years, and she said, just have an open mind. And I said, yeah, she gave me hope. And I said, I'll try it. But this is going to be my last try. With everything I tried, I kind of gave into the food. You know, I said, I'm not going to try any longer. What's the use? So this was it. She 12-stepped me for about a week, told me about how the 100 men women recovered and how the doctor's opinion. She told me about the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind. I had no clue about any of that stuff. And I was sold. I said, I will try because I just don't want to die. And she took me to my first meeting. And she said something about God. She asked me what kind of God I had. Well, I grew up with fearful, punishing God. And she said, I will
That's
give
time.
You. Thank you very much. She said, I'll give you my loving God. And that was the beginning of my life. You know, abstinence and being in the program. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa O. in Massachusetts. All right, we are ready to take another group of folks to share. So who else would like to speak this morning on this paragraph?
Charles William B. Texas.
Aaron K. in Michigan.
Got Charles H., Ore B., and Aaron K. Who did I miss?
Morrissey.
Maura? Right. I know I missed others, and we've got time. So who else would like to share?
Nicole J.
Nicole, okay.
Anybody else want to hop in?
Karen T.
Karen. P as in Paul or T as in Tom?
Tom.
Perfect. All right. So let's go with Charles H, O-A B, Aaron K, Maura V, Nicole J, and Karen T. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Lindsay. Way to go on that special edition, too. You ripped that thing. I know, so I ain't going to have to say my name again. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And, you know, I know a couple of things. I don't know too much, but I know growth changes appetite, right? And, you know, my conception of God as a believer when I first came to Overeaters Anonymous was God is hate. God is too much instructions. I got to do too much things. I didn't even have, and I'm not ashamed to say this because I need to share. I think sometimes as a recovered compulsive overeater, I'm talking about me, I don't want to share my reviews that I was resentful, and you know, I don't want to seem weak, but you know, paradoxically, weakness is strength. And I need God. You know, God was hate for me. God was instructions. God was, you know, all this bad stuff. I don't understand God, but I try my best, to the best of my ability, to stand under God, to surrender, to give in to these rituals, spiritual. You know, I hear in a lot of meetings that spirituality versus religion. Yeah, there's no, right? Like, and page, you know, page 25, 27, and 47, if you look under, it says, see spiritual experiences, you know, for amplification. Like personality change. I love page 27 as well, where it says, Carl Jung, one of my heroes, says ideas, emotions, and all those type of things were rearranged. You know, and I feel the power of God. And the big book is inclusive. It's not exclusive. You can say whatever you want. You can hate. You can love. You can do whatever you want. But there's power that I need access to on a daily basis. That somebody said it for that power. I don't care who. I am not here to compel or agree with. I'm here to get access to a power greater than myself, and I choose to call that God. And with that, I'll leave some time on the clock.
Thank you, Charles H. in New York. Next up is O'Ray B., followed by Aaron K. Good morning, O'Ray.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, my God. I was praying to God that I wouldn't get rained on my walk, and I'm getting rained on right now. I guess I needed a refresher. Anyway, thank you, PB, for your leadoff. And moderator, you're doing an excellent job. You're my favorite moderator. Wink, wink. Anyway, so I just thought about how this time around, I used to have this expectation that, like, oh, if God is working, I would have a perfect release from the phenomenon of craving. Like, it was like I had this expectation that it was going to be easy, that if it, like, that was evidence that God was working and wanted me sober with food. And like this time around, I had a totally different experience in that. It was a dogfight every day. It was excruciatingly painful every day that I was sober and I didn't engage in my using food. And I would have to take so much action. And it wasn't like I was relying upon my efforts. It was just that I was just trying to put as much distance between me and the first compulsive bite so that God grace could work. And it was still hard. And for some reason this time around, I didn't see it as like, oh, it's hard, therefore God isn't working. The way I looked at it was like, oh, this is the price that needs to be paid. And it became evidence like, oh, every day that I stay sober through the pain, through the excruciating pain, that was evidence of God's amazing power. Because I wanted, in those early days, I wanted to eat every single day. And some days, the best I could do was go to bed early, or I would go to the movies just to give God time to work. But it was painful. And here it is. I'm like approaching 10 years of freedom, and like 240 pounds down. And it didn't happen the way I thought it should. And thank God it didn't happen the way I thought it should. And it just changed the way that I looked at God. Like, God's power carried me through. There were times where I would get visualizations like I was sitting in a house that was on fire because my skin was, I was just so uncomfortable. And somehow I got the ability to just withstand that onslaught of just discomfort from not eating. So I just wanted to share that just so, like, other people can see it's not always like you get lifted, this perfect lift, and you're skating through the clouds and, oh, I'm free. No, mine was birthed in fire and pain, and I'm sober today. Thank you.
Thank you, O'Reilly in Texas. And then next up is Aaron K., followed by Maura Z. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning, Lindsay. It's Aaron K., a recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. Oh, yeah. Okay, prejudice against spiritual terms. I had a lot of this, my first couple years in program. I had a lot of prejudice about the terms that people use to talk about God. You know, I couldn't wrap my head around it. It sounded a lot like magical thinking, like genie in a bottle God or Santa God, you know, granting wishes. And I used to, you know, what I was hearing, you know, through the filter of my own brain, right, is like, well, God exists as long as I'm getting what I want. God is awesome, you know, as long as like the things I'm praying for are happening. And when things happen that I pray for, that proves that God is there and God is working. And that's what I would hear. But, you know, that didn't jive with a lot of my own experience. I mean, I'm a doctor and I treat kids. And, you know, seeing a child battling cancer, I just couldn't believe, you know, that there's a sentient being that willed this. You know, that, you know, life is just fundamentally unfair. And, you know, I was really blocked until I, you know, I stumbled upon some concepts that really helped me make my start. You know, one is, you know, I heard someone say on a special edition that prayer doesn't change outcomes. It changes the person praying. And I could, okay, I can wrap my head around that. I can see that. Another spiritual teacher expressed something that I come back to over and over and have to remind myself, which is, you know, God protects me from nothing but sustains me through everything. And, you know, to me, I like that computes. And so this was enough for me to make my beginning. And also, you know, the food had beat me down, you know, in multiple relapses to the point where I was willing to take direction from a sponsor that, you know, get up in the morning and pray and meditate, you know, start to try to make this conscious contact. You don't have to be so smart. You don't have to really understand or have some sort of, you know, perfectly dialed in understanding of this power in order to start accessing it. And, you know, I'm with you, Ori, like, you know, into every life, a little rain is going to fall. Sometimes we will get rained on, but, you know, God is there, whether I'm wet or have an umbrella. You know, God is awesome whether I'm getting my way or not, and gives me that power to get through whatever. So if you're struggling in any similar way to me, thanks, Lindsay, just make a start. I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Aaron K. in Michigan. Next up, Maura Z., followed by Nicole J.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thank you so much for your service and everyone who does service at this meeting. My name is Maura Z., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I'm in Virginia. It's such a simple idea, but we get our heads so wrapped around it in such confusion and such disbelief. Step two is just merely asking us to be willing to believe. That's all. It's just asking us to be willing to believe. The words we use to describe a power greater than ourselves, there are many. And there are many that are unspoken because they just exist in the minds of the believers or the disbelievers, for that matter. We just needed to let prejudice go. We needed to just have an open mind to spiritual terms, to have an open mind to the idea that there's a power greater than myself. I could believe that. I could believe there's a power greater than myself, because if I stand at the ocean and I try to stop the waves, it's never going to happen. I am just a small little being on this planet, in this universe. And there are many powers that are greater than myself. But the one power that I need to believe in that will restore me to sanity is a higher power. Call him God. Call him the spirit of the universe. Call him a creative intelligence. Call him a her or an it, for that matter. Whatever feels right to you, that's the gift of this program. I don't have to believe like someone else does. And when I first came into this program, it was in a church, and there was a lot of speaking of a particular deity, and I was uncomfortable. But I kept coming back because the message underneath was what I needed to hear. And that was, I'm powerless, but there is one that has all power. May you find him now. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Maura Z in Virginia. And then next up is Nicole J. And Karen T, we may have time for a short share after that. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thank you for your service. I'm Nicole J., recovered in Virginia, and I am grateful. I came into program with a faith in God. I had a relationship with God. I thought I did have a relationship with God, but like most of the relationships in my life, I had no idea how to have a relationship. You know, I've had to learn that in recovery. So I guess it was dysfunctional like every other relationship in my life. And there was a source that says that we lay hold of a source of strength or something like that, that we had not even imagined. I had that available to me, you know, as somebody who had a relationship with God, but I had no idea how to access it. And I also didn't understand how desperately I needed to access it, not for the things that I was praying for, not to be skinny, not to get good grades, not to whatever, but I needed the complete change of heart and mind and body, my psychic change, and I didn't know to ask for that. And I also came up of the prejudice against the prejudice of, I believe God exists, I know. But I don't really, at that time, I didn't really believe that he could do anything about this problem because I had been struggling with it for so long. And I had tried everything, and I didn't understand that that was actually proof that, okay, you've been in a position where God can actually help you because you have tried everything. And I'm grateful today because I did have to pray the set-aside prayer because I did have so much quote-unquote knowledge, and I had a lot of growing to do in my understanding of who God is and what he's like. And there was a lot of misconceptions, a lot of things I didn't understand, even in my own faith. But thankfully, the best thing I could do, I did. I just kept coming back and I kept listening. And not everything that I hear works for me, but that's okay. I feel like I'm growing. And I was just talking to somebody today about finally beginning that process of praying without ceasing. I never understood that before. But now I have an undercurrent of prayer in my life, like a stream. And it's quiet and it's gentle. And I keep conversing with God throughout the day, and that's something I always wanted. I didn't know, so the program brought me to that, and I thank God for it, and I pass.
Thank you, Nicole J. in Virginia. Karen T., we have time for a 1-minute share if you'd like to take us out this morning.
I'd like to. This is Susan S.H.
Oh, Karen T.?
Yep.
Are you there?
Karen T.
For a final share, take us in 1 minute. Thank you.
Excellent. Hi, I'm Karen T., compulsive overeater from New Orleans, Louisiana. Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you, everyone who's helping to do service here. You know, we can have our own conception of God, and it's mine, right? I mean, we are selfish people. So great, it's mine. I can make it however I want and whatever works for me, but I still have to take step three. You know what I mean? Like, I can't use me controlling my conception of God to control God. You know what I mean? So I have to be careful. So yes, I do love the freedom that we can have our own conception of God, but it's still got to be a power greater than ourselves that can restore us to sanity. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Karen T. in Louisiana. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study that will immediately follow our closing. And the share ID for today's meeting, Tuesday, June 23rd, is 23,573. So that is 23573. All right, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer together. All right, Susan S.H., you are up. Will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you. Am I still unmuted?
You are.
Okay, good. Okay, our book is, this is Susan S.H. in Ohio, compulsive overeater, grateful and recovered today. But still, you may say, oh, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.